Feeling lonely, you mightn't be alone in that. Loneliness is a quietly emerging health issue and can affect people of all ages, backgrounds, and life stages. Join us now to talk about how to reconnect with friends, make new ones, and combat loneliness. It's Dr. Anastasia Haronis, clinical psychologist and author of The Dopamine Brain. Anastasia, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's very kind of you to take some time with us.
That's okay.
So, according to the Occupation article, there's been an increase in loneliness in Australia. So why do you think that is?
Oh, it's a big question. It's a question a lot of people are trying to find answers to. But there's a number of different reasons that have kind of been put forward as to why we're seeing this increase in loneliness. A big one is, I guess, the way in which kind of society functions these days. If we think back to kind of previous years where we may have had more of a community and collective feel to how we go about our day-to-day life, it was easier to form bonds with people that we saw regularly and to live as part of a kind of community. Given how society functions these days, we are more separate in our lives. But we also kind of see reasons relating to things like people say that they're busier, they have less time to keep in touch with friends, they're feeling more stressed, and sometimes friendships aren't just at the top of the priority list.
And so humans being social creatures, friendship is quite important to our health. So how does having friends actually impact our health and well-being? Is it mental or is there a physical component as well?
Yeah, it's both. I mean, from a historical perspective, it's important for us to be a part of a social group because that meant that we were safe, we were part of a pack, and it's important for us to feel that sense of belonging. And that's it's a very primal thing that we have. It's why feelings of isolation and loneliness and rejection actually kind of hurt so much. There's been studies that show that these feelings can hurt as much as physical pain hurts because we're not designed to be creatures living in isolation. And so when we are well connected with other people, whether that be family, friends, and a kind of social network, we do see that people have better mental health outcomes, but also physical health outcomes.
And so, you know, we see kids in school playgrounds and making friends almost arbitrarily, you know, they both have the same favorite color, for example. It's just that easy to make friends as a kid. So why is it harder to make friends as adults where, you know, you can't just bond over someone over your favorite color? Or maybe it doesn't seem that you can form a deep connection over that.
It could be the case. But we find that kids are easy, quick to trust. They find it easy to trust. So it is really, as you say, as simple as like, oh, favorite color, let's be friends. When one of the barriers that we find with adults is a greater sense of fear and self-consciousness. So young kids often don't have that kind of self-conscious awareness to be nervous to approach a kid in the playground and ask to be their friend. But as adults, we're more aware of ourselves. We might kind of doubt ourselves. You know, if there's that friend we haven't spoken to in a while, we might feel a little bit self-conscious or nervous in reaching out to them. We might have also had experiences where trust has been broken. And as I say, as adults with busy lives, sometimes friendships can slip, you know, a few ranks down the priority list.
And so I guess my final question to wrap this all up, Anastasia, is what are some ways that people can make friends or if they're feeling a bit trepidatious about it, reconnecting with old ones?
Yeah, I often recommend that people take a two-prong approach. I suggest going about it in almost a bit of a strategic way, which can sometimes feel a bit manufactured, but can be very effective, which is, you know, write out a list of the people you know. Different friends kind of serve different purposes in our lives. So we might have the friend that is, you know, the person we have those deep and meaningful conversations with, the person who's the work friend, the person we share hobbies with. So write out a list of people who are in your social network and make a bit of a plan as to try to connect with them more so that we strengthen the connections that we already have. But also, if you're looking to make new friendships and relationships, getting involved in kind of shared community activities. I think we have seen a shift towards a recognition that we need more of this in life. And so whether it's a yoga class, a community choir, there's a lot of kind of groups these days, like there's a website Time Left and The First Round. These are websites designed to kind of get people together who are strangers wanting to make friends and, you know, bond over dinner and drinks and things like that. So book clubs, craft clubs, all those kind of things can be great places to potentially meet people who have similar interests to you.
That's all wonderful stuff. Anastasia, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
No worries at all. Thanks for having me.
That was Dr. Anastasia Horonis, clinical psychologist and author of The Dopamine Brain, talking about how to connect with old friends and make new ones to stave off those gnawing feelings of loneliness that some of us may be experiencing.